This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mantle! And the Rangers have one more hell to climb, baby! But it's Moot Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the finals!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Call his wife and I hope you know I'm just having fun with my guy Marco.
How's your boy been? It's been good. I've been really, really good. It was one hell of a Thursday night. It's been a great Friday morning. I hope you're enjoying yours as well. I happen to be one of those, you know, wonderful Nick Giant fans, which is amazing to say that's positive on this morning. But it is. I feel great. I feel great as a Giant fan. I am about as excited for a Giant season as I've been in a long freaking time. The New York Giants, if you haven't heard, had a doozy of a first round, baby, in the NFL draft last night as they selected Abdul Carter with the third overall pick. The edge rusher from Penn State, who arguably, and according to many, could possibly be the best player in this draft. After Cam Ward obviously goes one to Tennessee, Jacksonville moves up with a trade with Cleveland to take Travis Hunter, and the Giants stand firm. They do not take the quarterback number three. They take the best player on the board, Abdul Carter, but they move back into the first round, trade 2 third-round picks to move back in at 25 with the Houston Texans, and take their guy, take the quarterback, that I don't care if I believe in him, I don't care if you believe in him, Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants, believes in Jackson Dart. Joe Shane believes in Jackson Dart. Joe Shane's children believe in Jackson Dart. That's all that matters to me. And they move back into the first round to give him, now they have the fifth-year option with him, which is important for a quarterback they probably don't intend to play, as they announced after, as Brian Daboll announced after, that, you know, obviously Russell Wilson is going to be the starter of this season. And make no mistake, Jackson Dart, as much as I'm telling you I'm happy they drafted him, I don't think he'll be ready. I think this is a quarterback who, you know, didn't really play a NFL offense at Ole Miss, and a lot of play action and a lot of quick decisions and a lot of, you know, eliminating half the field. It's going to take time, but I've been dying since Brian Daboll got hired. Since that beautiful bald bastard has been in my life, I've been waiting for him to get a chance to develop his guy. And moving back into the first round with Shedeur Sanders still there, as he is the other story of this draft, as he has completely fallen out of the first round and is still available for Cleveland at the first pick in the second round. And we'll see how tomorrow goes. Or later today, rather, excuse me. But they moved up. They showed a aggressiveness to go get their guy, Jackson Dart. And I was a proponent. Listen, I was banging the table to just draft a quarterback at three. I wanted Shedeur Sanders. I wanted Shedeur Sanders as the third pick in this draft. because I feel they need the future quarterback. But the dream scenario, even I'm not, you know, listen, as much as I wanted to draft them third, the idea of getting both, the idea of getting arguably the best player in this draft and still finding their quarterback is the dream scenario. I just can't plan for dream scenarios. I couldn't expect dream scenarios. I didn't know it was going to play out that the rest of these quarterbacks would fall off the face of the earth. I didn't know that. I thought the Saints would take one at 9. I thought there was a chance you could see the Pittsburgh Steelers move up or any other team possibly move up to take a quarterback. I couldn't risk not getting the quarterback. That's how strongly I felt on it. And thankfully, the Giants didn't miss. They played it smart. They stuck to their guns and going, draft board and best player available at 3 and then got aggressive when they needed to. Jumped in at 25, got their quarterback, and they come away with both the best player available and the future of this franchise. And Brian Daboll, and get ready, because Brian Daboll and Joe Shane ain't going nowhere. I firmly believe that this is now an opportunity to rebuild for the second time for these two. I think the owner was afraid to say it because he knew you wanted blood after the season. So he gave you the fire and brimstone, and I better be happy. But ultimately, he knows you can't change streams this early off of drafting a quarterback like this. The team should be much better defensively. The pass rush should be elite. They added defensive backs in free agency. If Andrew Thomas is healthy, the offensive line should be better. They got Malik Nabers. I don't think much of Russell Wilson, but he's a far better quarterback than what they've had. This team should win a few games. This team should start the process of developing their young quarterback along with the great defensive player they got. It was a glorious first round for New York Giant fans. I don't know how to see it any other way. Even if you don't like the quarterback, it doesn't matter what you like. The Giants got their guy, and we'll find out. We'll find out years from now whether or not. I mean, we all know this, right? I'm saying today. I think they did as good as they could have today. They got the best proposed player and the quarterback, but it's going to take years before we find out what that quarterback is. But for me, I can have an opinion. You can have an opinion. All that mattered was Brian Daboll, and this wasn't just, hey, he fell to us in the second round. I suppose we have to take him. They showed aggressiveness. They proved it's the guy they wanted, and they went out and took him. I am pumped as a Giant fan, and then you get to the Knicks, and that craziness and the atmosphere of that series and the chippiness and the fights and the just the defense, the physical nature, the atmosphere in that building to go along with the answered questions that I had of this team and Tibbs. And yes, it's only one game for Karl Anthony Towns, and he's got to do it again in game 4 and again in game 5 and again in game 6 if necessary. But coming off of game 2 and all the questions I had almost immediately answered, right? We were concerned about the hustle and the rebounds immediately, even though they still got out rebounded in this game. You could see the difference in that department almost immediately. Karl Anthony Towns and other offensive weapons besides Jalen Brunson. Karl Anthony Towns hitting big threes. OG Anunoby back to being an offensive player early on in this game. I think he had 18 first half points, hitting big threes. Even Mikal Bridges was much more involved in the offense down the stretch. And every time, and you got to give it to the Pistons too, who are playing just smothering defense. And as much as the Knicks can't pull away from them, every time the Pistons would make a run to get back into the game, the Knicks would have an answer. Every single time. And this was the first game where it really felt like the Knicks were dictating the action and the Pistons were playing catch-up. Now, the Pistons played catch-up pretty damn well up until the last freaking minute when the official scorer tried to steal it. Up until the final half a second when, according to Marco, accidentally, the official clock went off or whatever. If you didn't see the end of the game, go check it out. With a 2-point lead after sinking one, after a weird set of circumstances that turned a game that should have been over, you know, minutes ago. And of course, it takes, you know, a half hour for the last minute as I'm waiting by the door to run out of here to get here on time. It takes forever the last few minutes of the game. The Knicks should have had it won easily in the last minute, to the point where the Detroit Piston fans, who haven't seen a freaking playoff game in how long, are exiting because they know the game is over. But wait, we're going to have a stupid play by Mikal Bridges on a jump ball that taps it right to Beasley for an open three. And we're going to get to a point where the Knicks have to make foul shots down the stretch of the game. And with half a second left, up two after one made free throw, the Knicks decide to miss the final free throw. The clock goes off prematurely. The Pistons are allowed to take the ball out of bounds, take three steps towards the basket on the side out of bounds, take three steps and move, and almost blow the game. But ultimately, the Knicks do win. They take the third game of this series. They now have a commanding 2-1 lead and will look to take a stranglehold on this series come Sunday. But for me, the rebounding questions, the Karl Anthony Towns questions, the hero ball questions, even the Tibbs questions were answered in the affirmative for game number three. It was a well-played game, and it was the first game where the Knicks took the action to the Pistons. So to me, coming off a lousy game two, to play that level of basketball on the road in that environment, with the physical nature that the Pistons are bringing and the early onslaught of threes from really everybody on the team, but Schroeder is making every single damn shot. He's been incredible in this series. I mean, it was Hardaway Jr. hit the first, he was 5 for 5 from downtown at points. I mean, it was a back-and-forth battle that the Knicks came out on top, and Karl Anthony Towns blocking shots at the end, hitting, you know, Ewing-esque fadeaway jump shots on the baseline, you know, awkward shots and off-balance shots all night from Karl Anthony Towns, who just played with a different fervor than he played in the first two games. And it was nice to see, and it's got to keep up. But a good win for the Knicks. A great night for the Giants. The Jets take an offensive lineman from Missouri and have now cultivated, in this new era of football for the New York Jets, in this new era of culture, they have now cultivated what could be one of the best offensive lines in football, and they're going to try and run the football down your throat with a running quarterback. They're going to try and lean on this defense. They're going to try and be good in the trenches. They're going to try and be a physical, smack-you-in-the-mouth football team that this blue-collar city could get behind. And the Giants are hoping to develop their next quarterback. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Maury and Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. What a great first round for the G-Men.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited. I'm a little concerned that Sanders is going to be picked by someone in our division and come out of the NFL with vengeance. I'm a little concerned about that. And then last night, the difference in the Knick game was heart. Not the our heart that beats in your stomach, in your belly, mm-hmm. but the heart that Josh Hart showed up last night. He showed up. He was hustling. He was getting the rebounds. I think that was the game last night, was the fact that he was out hustling Detroit. They played great. I think the coach didn't make any mistakes last night. I think he did everything right. Mm-hmm. But that was a crazy ending to a crazy game.
What a crazy ending. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And I don't know what, honestly, I mean, the rules, and we've been talking about it a lot all morning, me, Fleegs, and Marco.
Accidentally,
of course.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, like, the rule feels like a rule made for, like, I have no problem if that's the case, you know, 5 minutes left in the first quarter. Like, okay, you know, the thing went off too early, you know, give the rebounding team the ball out of bounds. Like, but in the final seconds of the game, yeah. Like, I don't know what you should do. I'll be totally honest with you. I think jump ball seems the most logical thing to do. I don't know if you can have them retake the foul shot. I don't love the idea of giving the ball to the Pistons. I certainly think if you do give the ball to the Pistons, it has to be under the basket. And he shouldn't be able to move. I don't know why he was able to take three steps before trying to inbound the ball. Just the entire thing seemed bizarre.
There's a lot of things that went wrong on that last play, but even him moving to throw the ball in was wrong. Mm-hmm. The fact that when they touched the ball after that missed free throw, the clock automatically starts, so they probably would have ran out of clock.
Yeah.
It was just crazy, but let's just take this victory. Let's just lick our chops. I do think the team's, they're hurting. The whole team's hurting. I mean, they need to take these guys out quickly so they can rest, but I'm excited, man, and I don't know about this Utah quarterback connection, but please don't let him play a game until he's ready to get on that field, dog. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say. Hey,
yeah.
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. And it's a good night to be your night. I mean, listen, I think they're going to let him. To me, he will not see the field until they are, until he's ready, but specifically until they are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. I don't think there is a chance with the, this is not going to be a rehash of Eli Manning and Kurt Warner. I just, they were 5-4 after 9 games. I don't think there is any chance that at 5-4, 4-5, if the, especially with the new playoff, the added playoff team, if the Giants are still in the right side of the screen, in the right side of the screen, in the hunt box, there is no way this owner, who has been sick to his stomach watching dead season after dead season, is not going to give this group an opportunity to play meaningful games in December. There's just no way. He is not going to shut it down to go to a young quarterback. I don't believe it. So barring injury or being, you know, until they're mathematically eliminated, I don't think you can see Dart. I think hopefully, theoretically, the plan is to let him sit the entire year. Learn from the veteran quarterbacks, learn from Dable, learn the offense, and be ready to go next year. I think that's the ideal situation. And that's why they signed these veteran quarterbacks. The idea that if they fell into a position without being able to draft a quarterback, they could live with it. But also, if they get a quarterback, they have time to work with them. And I think that's why you saw Dart over Sanders. They're going with a tool set. You know, some of, you know, people are saying, obviously, you know, they would, that, you know, he's got some of the same tools, not at the same level, clearly, but some of the same tools as Josh Allen. You know, I'm sure he reminds, Dable is reminded of Josh Allen. You know, he's a less polished quarterback, but he's got the tools you can't coach, so give him to a good coach and we'll see what happens. It's going to take time. But to me, this was a perfect scenario. They got the best defensive player available, arguably the best player in the entire draft, and they got their future quarterback. Ralph in Long Beach. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, I told you I wanted him, and I told you Dart. Let me tell you, this is
yes, our you got it. Hey, you got it. You wanted
for me and you, C-Mac.
There happy we go, Ralph. Yes, yes, sir.
I'm getting my bike. I'm riding to the boardwalk. I nice. Got my jersey on. And let me tell you something. I wanted that man. And C-Mac, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for us. I think you're right. This is it. Celebration time. But let's go now. And now all we need is the Mets to win everything. I know the Yankees, but
yeah, what are you thinking? They can win the National League. That's fine. We could both root for
that. I got my shirt on. I got my Tuck shirt on. I'm ready to go.
You got your Justin Tuck jersey on?
I got my Tuck jersey on.
I like
on.
It. I have the, and thank you for the call, Ralph. I'm up against the break. I have my Justin Tuck bed sheet that I wear as well. I have a Justin Tuck Giants jersey bed sheet. But that's my guy, Justin Tuck. But yeah, listen, this is perfect. I mean, I think it was a great night. And listen, we're going to find out. In 3 years, we might look back on it and go, I can't believe they didn't take Sanders over. What a disaster that was. Or they didn't take Milrow over Dart. What a disaster that was. I mean, clearly Milrow is the, you know, league MVP. I can't believe the Giants passed on him. I don't know. We'll find out. But I like the idea that there was an urgency to go get him, that they didn't just wait and see if he was sitting there in the second round, that they moved up. I had a caller speculate that there's some word that the Rams were interested in him. Now, I haven't seen that anywhere. It might be out there. But if you just look at the circumstance, they did trade up in front of the Rams. And then once they made that pick, the Rams traded out of the pick. Again, that's just reading between the lines and creating your own narrative. But it leans itself to that, which would make me feel a hell of a lot better if true. That would mean Sean McVay wanted him, which makes me feel better about Dart. And it means that Joe Shane recognized the situation and knew exactly when he had to move up and who he had to move out in front of. And that makes me feel better about Joe Shane and his ability to read this draft and read the rest of the NFL. But that's just speculation. But that would be interesting. And it is weird that they moved up right in front of the Rams and then the Rams traded back. Rams didn't love Dart. Trust me when I tell you, per sources, not sauces. Trust me when I tell you, per sauces, it's the per in front of it. They were not drafting Dart. So that is Connor Hughes. Was that like earlier? Or is that literally response to like me talking? 5 hours ago. Yeah. No, someone else was speculating it. Yeah. So there goes that. Thanks, Connor Hughes. I was trying to have some fun at 4:25 in the morning. You had to go and ruin everything. It made me feel better that McVay wanted him.
Your official station to talk New York Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:31, Mick Monaco here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. So besides the Knicks last night in the NBA, we saw the LA Clippers take a 2-1 lead over the Denver Nuggets, 117-83, and the Oklahoma City Thunder take a commanding 3-0 lead over the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, in that game, something went on with that game that I have a real problem with. And I admit, Marco pointed it out. I didn't even notice it, but I have a major problem with it. So, obviously, in the game, Memphis takes a big lead early on. I think it was as much as 29 points. John Morant gets hurt in the second quarter, leaves the game. Oklahoma City goes on this, you know, big run, wins the game. The problem I have and why I'm perfectly okay with Memphis losing that game has nothing to do with John Morant. The Memphis Grizzlies were wearing throwback uniforms, which I guess I have no problem with. But mind you, this is the first game of the playoffs and at home for them. And never even mind the first. They're at home in a playoff game. And the Memphis Grizzlies are wearing a throwback uniform that says Vancouver on it. The jersey actually says the former city of the team. They're playing in Memphis. They're playing playoff basketball in Memphis. And they're wearing a jersey that says Vancouver. How? I know it's like a stupid little thing, but that would drive me crazy. How are you not wearing your own city's name on your shirt? When you're playing there, this is the playoffs at your home city. It's one of two games you're probably going to play there, let's be honest. And you're wearing Vancouver? That would drive me nuts if I was a Memphis Grizzlies fan. That I went there and I watched my team play with a different city on their shirt? Ridiculous. One more hill to climb, baby. I can't. That's the only thing. Whenever I hear Vancouver, I have to say that. 888-808-1019. I just thought that was weird. Why the hell would they wear another city on there? It's one thing. All right, you want to do the old like Grizzlies logo? That's fine. You have to put Vancouver on it? That's crazy. Matt in Long Beach. What's up, Matt?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Game last night.
Yes, sir.
I just can't for the life of me figure out why they're not playing Mitch more. Tough physical game last night. You need him in there. His defense creates offense. It's just needs to play more minutes.
Yeah, what are you playing this game, 16 minutes or so?
Not enough. He's got to be playing double that. Start him. Josh Hart off the bench.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily want to go that far with it. If they were playing like that all year, maybe. If they get into a scenario where they absolutely need it, they did win two of the first three games, and they won this game yesterday. And Josh Hart was a key role. You know, he had his 10 rebounds. He didn't score much, but Mitch definitely makes a difference. He makes a difference defensively. He makes a difference with his rebounds. He had a couple of key putbacks. Mitch Robinson has played very well when he's on the floor, and I don't disagree. He's warranted for more minutes. I don't know if I'd start him. But he brings a lot to the team. There's no question. They are a better team now that he's back, and he does add an element of rim protection and rebounding and defense. You saw at the end of the game, they took out Cat to put him in for the last couple of possessions defensively. He's moving well. He's absolutely been important to the Knicks, no doubt.
Yeah, he's got to be in that paint more. He's got to be those offensive rebounds are key. Yeah. He is the key going further in this in the playoffs. He's the key, in my opinion.
Yeah, and listen, you're right. And even moving forward beyond this series, if they make it to play Boston, I'd like to see his minutes pick up because there's no doubt he seems to impact the team. They play better defensively. He was getting some rebounds. Obviously, he doesn't have much of a shot, but he was, you know, was able to put some, you know, put a couple dunks back off of misses. He's been solid. I would definitely play him more. I don't know if I'd start him. If I had all year and we were and they were more comfortable with that, and they were doing that more often, I might start him. But and if I get to a point in a series where I'm in trouble and I'm getting absolutely, you know, ravaged at the on the boards and at the rim, maybe. But I don't know. I don't think I'd go that far. But I could play him more minutes. There's no doubt. I definitely could play him more minutes, and he is having an impact the minutes he's on the floor. But I thought Tibbs did a really good job yesterday. I thought Tibbs had a much better game than he did in game two. I thought early on you could sense that they got the message that the boards were important. You know, they had to do better at the boards. I thought the offense was much less stagnant. You know, after a game one where they were able to get some different things going offensively with OG Anunoby, that really didn't happen game two. Back again in this game three, OG Anunoby was getting more offensive touches. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns was a much more prominent force. They were trying to get him the ball. You could see the game plan that they had where, you know, Brunson was kind of backing off and letting him set up and getting the ball to him. And then he was making big shots. I thought Karl Anthony Towns played really well in this game, answered a lot of questions. He's just got to be able to do it more often. 888-808-1019, but that was a great game. It's been a fun series. I mean, you got to give it to the Pistons, man. They have played really well. They've hit a ton of clutch shots. I mean, between Hardaway and Schroeder yesterday, I mean, they hit every big shot. And any time the Knicks would try and pull away, they would come back. They play just unbelievable defense. They are all over you. I mean, Brunson can't breathe without someone in his face. It's been a fun series to watch. And that was a great atmosphere, and it was chippy. It was everything you want about playoff basketball. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Don't hang up on me like a baby. Let's have an adult conversation.
I'd love to have an adult conversation. You have a tendency of screaming and not listening.
For the last,
so then I,
you know,
then I put
months,
you in timeout like a child, because that's what has to
for the last few months you were screaming from the mountaintops that
yes.
We got to get Sanders, and I actually bought into you 100%. Mm-hmm. I was in the 11 online social media groups. I was supporting that. I had every single person in my life told me I was crazy, but I said I'm going to go with Chris. We need this guy.
Again.
And just admit, you look like an idiot today, and I look like an idiot, and here's why.
I don't
look like idiots.
I've been saying they need a quarterback.
The guy that you wanted, no, you wanted a guy.
I prefer Sanders.
And then you hide behind.
No,
well,
not true.
I'm not the guy. Chris,
I've been
I'm
saying that same
today.
Thing.
The guy we
You're,
think that we
Brett,
wanted
you can
out of
say
the
whatever
round.
You want. It doesn't make it true, buddy. Anyone who's listened to me,
you don't agree with that statement?
No, everyone.
You wanted Sanders. You thought he was good.
I do think he's good. No,
we look bad.
I don't think I look bad at all, Brett.
How do those two things not go together? The guy you wanted that I actually supported you
yeah.
for months.
Again,
I told everybody.
I
hey,
wanted.
We should get Sanders.
Here
right,
we go. This
fine.
Is why I hang up on you, because you don't shut up.
Good.
I have said forever that my choice would be Shedeur Sanders. But the most important thing to me is that Brian Daboll gets the quarterback he wants. I could not be more clear about that. I've said that for forever.
Politics, but you want
it's not politics. Yes.
I thought
Shedeur Sanders is the better
Shedeur
quarterback,
Sanders.
Yes. I'd rather have Shedeur Sanders.
Round. We look foolish, that's all.
I guess. I suppose a lot of people wanted Shedeur Sanders. I thought Shedeur Sanders is the better quarterback, yes. A lot of people are scratching their heads right now that Jackson Dart was drafted. Absolutely. I don't think I look bad. There are a lot of people making the case that Brian Daboll and the Giants look bad. There are a lot of people making the case that the Pittsburgh Steelers look bad. And Shedeur Sanders looks bad. Sure, okay. I look bad, Brett. I look bad. I thought Shedeur Sanders was going to get drafted higher, and he didn't. I look terrible. How can I go on? Thank God it's the weekend. Maybe people will forget by Monday. I wanted, as a Giant fan, I am happy as a Giant fan because I have said forever, and I said it today, and I said it last week, and I said it when this whole thing started, that I am not a quarterback guru. People were getting on me. Chris, you're not giving me, like, this is where you and Eddie and Rockland, you guys like to tag up. Because Eddie would be like, you can't just say you want whoever Brian Daboll wants. You got to give me a guy. Who's your guy? Who's your guy? Who's your guy? In my opinion, Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback outside of Cam Ward. But all I wanted was Brian Daboll to get his guy. That's the most important thing to me. I'm not developing him. I'm not working with him. My job isn't on the line on whether or not Jackson Dart becomes the future quarterback of the New York Giants. I wanted Brian Daboll since they allowed him to stay because he was hired because he's a quarterback coach, because he helped develop Josh Allen. And that's what made him feasible of being a head coach in the league, and specifically the Giants head coach. I wanted him to get his guy. And trading up back into the first round and taking Jackson Dart when Shedeur Sanders was still there is enough proof for me that Brian Daboll got his guy. That's why I'm excited. I'm excited because I don't know for sure Shedeur Sanders is better than Jackson Dart, or is going to have a better career, or will be a better pro. I'd prefer him from what I've seen. But I'm glad that they did both. They got the best defensive player available and arguably the best player in the draft, and Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants, not Chris McMonagle sitting from the sidelines spewing into a microphone, but the head coach that matters, got the guy he wanted. And I'm looking forward to this upcoming season. The improvements they've made on the defensive side specifically, Andrew Thomas coming back health-wise on the offensive line to go along with the second year of Malik Nabers, a quarterback I don't have a ton of confidence in Russell Wilson, but clearly an upgrade over what they've had. And I'm looking forward to being a competent football team with my future quarterback waiting in the wings being developed by a coach who helped develop Josh Allen. And that's why he's here. And that's why I'm excited today. And so if you think me and you both are in the same boat of looking bad to your 11 social media groups, then so be it. Because I think Shedeur Sanders is better than Jackson Dart. I think he's more suited to come in and play. But I am happy today as a Giant fan that my coach got his quarterback and we can finally start this rebuild the right way. With the coach and the GM starting with a franchise quarterback off a team that won 3 games and was drafting 3rd overall. You know what you do in those situations? You draft a quarterback and you rebuild. It's take 2, but it's still the best option for the New York Giants, and I'm pumped about it today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Well, in the end, it's the Knicks that land Carmelo Anthony from Denver. And Amari Stoudemire happy that he's on hand. Stoudemire, addressing the media today, says the team will be hard to guard now, likes the idea of having that 1-2 punch.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan for the last few minutes of this 5-hour midnight ride as we take it till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. So, yeah, I mean, look, to Brett's point, I'm not sure why I'd care to say that, but to Brett's point, sure, I don't think I look, if you want to say I look bad or whoever, you know, I was wrong more than look bad because I thought Shedeur Sanders was going to be the next quarterback selected, and I wanted the Giants to take him, and he fell all the way through to the second round, I suppose. Okay, I was wrong on that, but I stand completely on my point and what I've been saying about Brian Daboll getting his guy. I have given my opinion on who I would choose if I were Brian Daboll, but I've made it very clear. I want Brian Daboll to draft a quarterback. That's what I want. And the only reason I suggested doing it third is because I couldn't. You can't plan on the dream scenario of getting back into the first round and getting the quarterback, or the idea that Shedeur Sanders or any other quarterback was going to fall out of the first round. I was afraid of drafting someone else at third, like Carter, as great as he is, and then turning around and seeing someone, you know, seeing the Raiders take him or seeing someone trade up with the Raiders and then seeing Dart going 9 at with the Saints. Like, I was just afraid they wouldn't have the opportunity to draft the quarterback. That was my most important thing. I wanted to come away with a quarterback for the New York Giants. And I was willing to forego the possibility of having my cake and eating it too, of drafting a defensive player as talented as Abdul Carter, and then getting the quarterback later. I was willing to forego that dream to just get the quarterback at 3 because I deemed that more important. I needed the quarterback. I didn't need Carter. I needed the quarterback. That's how I felt. And when I gave you my opinion on who I think that quarterback should be, I said Shedeur Sanders. But I made it very clear I wanted Brian Daboll to get his guy. I didn't need him to agree with me. And we'll find out years from now who's right or wrong. If Shedeur Sanders is winning back-to-back MVPs, maybe I won't feel so bad. Or I won't look as bad. And Brett can go back to his 11 social media groups and go, see, me and Chris were right all those years ago about Shedeur Sanders. I don't know. But I know that the coach of the New York Giants, who has made a career of developing quarterbacks, has his, finally. We hired a guy to do this, and we waited 4 years before we let him do it. That's what I wanted. I wanted the future of the franchise because that's what quarterbacks are. And as great as Micah Parsons is, and as great as Myles Garrett is, and as great as Watt is, they are not the determining factor on whether or not your franchise is a sustained winner. The quarterback is. So that's what I wanted. And I got it, so I'm happy. And I got the defensive player on top of it. So I'm twice as happy.
Parsons?
Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's going on, Mitch?
Hey, Big Mac, how is everything? Number one, would you like to take the family tonight to the Yankee game? I got a bunch of tickets free.
To tonight's game, you're the second person to offer me free Yankee tickets.
Okay.
I gotta get back to you. I don't know. It was a long week and a long week of vacation. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to want to go right to a game, but maybe. And listen, I will tell you this, though, and I know this is going to come off as self-serving, but you offered me, I'm sure you probably gave them up already, but I think my son's science experiment got moved off of that Friday, the Yankee-Met game.
Then guess what, Big Mac? I hate to tell you, you're going with us with the guys.
I forgot to run it by my wife, but I'm pretty sure she told me that it got moved off that Friday night. So I'm looking now to get back in the mix.
Okay, and we're gonna have a great time. We're gonna go out for dinner early at the stadium, and we'll make plans.
All right, that sounds good.
Okay, number two.
Yeah,
it's absolutely amazing at the Knick game. I was watching the end of the Knick game. And with 5 seconds left, they foul,
Brunson.
Oh my God, it went Brunson. Okay, and then the scorekeeper puts this buzzer on it, so it stops the play. Yeah. And the announcer for the whole time says, "I've never seen this ever happen before." And then they let them take the ball out at half court.
Yes.
NBA really should have to change that play because can you imagine if they would have gotten there and they hit a 3-pointer? Then you have heard everybody on the phone going crazy last night.
Me and Fleeks were joking about it. We were wondering how if that would have happened. And thank you for the invite and the call, Mitch. We'll talk soon. All right, bud.
Okay.
If that would have happened. If that inbounds didn't go out of bounds, but instead found its way into Cunningham's hand and he threw up a prayer and hit it, and the Knicks lost 119-118, me and Fleegs were wondering when I would have gotten to the NFL draft. I probably would have had to do 2 or 3 straight hours on that Knick loss. It would have been... I can't think of another New York game in particular. I'm trying to think of any game. But I can't think of another playoff game for any of our teams where we would have come away feeling as screwed as we would have off of that. Because you're 100% right. Like, I don't know. Giving them the ball isn't what kills me. That has got to be underneath the basket. You can't give it to them on the side there, and then you can't allow him to take 3 steps closer to the basket. Like, it is just, that's the problem I have. We would have been absolutely beside ourselves if the Knicks lost that game.
I don't even think we would have mentioned the draft. You would have been like, listen, we have a few months until football. We can get into all of that. I think it would have been 5 hours wall-to-wall Knicks.
It might
and
have
I think Keith's show, from the moment that happened,
yeah.
I think he only would have gotten Knicks calls.
Yeah. No, that would have been an all-time. I mean, an epic screw job. We would have never shut up about it. We would have been beside ourselves. And thankfully that didn't happen. But yeah, that was crazy for a second. And just the whole thing of like all of it, right? Debate, if you're watching the game and Breen is debating what should they do. Like the whole thing, he's at the foul line. As soon as he gets fouled, Breen is all over the idea of missing the second foul shot. With only a half a second left, you hit the first one, you miss the second. They don't have any timeouts. There's no way they'll be able to get a shot off. You got to miss that second shot. So we're all going through that in our minds. And then, you know, Brunson walks off the foul line. You don't really see it on TV, but Breen's talking that he's trying to get Tibbs' attention to ask what he should do. And we're all thinking, yeah, I guess miss it, right? And like running through my mind, I'm like, I don't know. Just go up three. You can't lose. Like, I don't know. I'm afraid of something crazy. And all the Detroit fans are leaving, right? All the Piston fans are walking out of the building. Alan Hahn is killing them. Alan Hahn's like, are you serious? You guys haven't had a playoff game? They haven't won a home playoff game and you are leaving? This is a three-point game. So I'm like, oh, this is so weird. I'm thinking Miami and San Antonio, where all those people couldn't get back into the building to see the Heat beat the Spurs. And I'm like, this is something crazy is going to happen here. What should they do? Then the clock goes off, and you're like, what the hell is that? Then the referees are getting together, and I'm like, well, what are they looking at? We all know what happened. You don't need a review. So, like, what are we trying to figure out? Like, what's the ruling on this thing? And then they give it to them on the side out of bounds. They don't take any time off the clock. And then for a second, nobody is defending the inbounder, and I'm like, I'm going to lose it. You got to get somebody on the inbounder. And then finally, Mitchell Robinson comes running down. Then he's allowed to take three steps towards the basket. Like, the whole thing was crazy. And there was a bunch of crazy scenarios in this game. Let me get to Bernadette before I do it to her again. Bernadette in Oceanside. What's up, Bernadette?
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Look, everyone knows that the draft... You know, it's all crapshoot, really.
It's a crapshoot.
I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen.
Nobody knows.
Who knows? Exactly. So this kid could be good.
That's it.
I mean, if Brian Gable can coach him and get him to where he wants him to be, it'll be wonderful.
That's it, Bernadette. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend. It would be wonderful if he could turn Jackson Dart into the next great quarterback in the New York Giants. And I don't know. And that's what I've said this whole time. Sure, if you're asking me, it's Sanders. But what the hell do I know? I want Brian Daboll to make the decision. And I want him to have to develop him. And I want to rebuild again with Shane and Daboll. That's what I've wanted since they've been brought back. I didn't want one more year and another chance at winning seven or eight games. I want another rebuild with a young quarterback. And that's what we got, along with the great defensive player. All right, I'm out of here. Thanks for calling. Thank you for being with me. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.